Age of Transitions.
You're listening to The Age of Transitions. I'm your host, Aaron Franz, coming at you live this Sunday night, December 4th, 2022. Live from the facilities of Ocelli.com every Sunday night, 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time is the show. First hour, Age of Transitions. Second hour, Uncle the Broadcast. Thank you for listening live, for listening to the podcast. Appreciate that. Listening to the Ocelli Radio Network. Of course, my website is theageoftransitions.com. You can pick up the podcast there. You can support this show. Lots of ways to do so. We have the t-shirts, Age of Transitions, Uncle the Podcast, and Ocelli Effect t-shirts. Again, the Ocelli shirts. Money goes to Chuck and goes to the network, so support the network. Buy an Ocelli Effect shirt. Or support the Ocelli Effect otherwise at Ocelli.com. But at theageoftransitions.com, you will also find my book, Revolve, Man's Scientific Rise to Godhood. Have paperback copies and ebook copies available both. So get those. Thank you, everybody who has. It's probably the best way to support the show, really. I know many of you have done that, so I appreciate that. Also have a Patreon campaign. Thank you, everybody, for supporting there. You support for $3 or more per month. You get access to the bonus podcast feed. It's a bonus material there. Also have affiliate links. If you're ever buying books or other media online, think about shopping through bookshop.org. Just when you do, click through the links at ageoftransitions.com that take you to bookshop.org. And you'll find my reading list, my suggested reading list. But you can really type whatever you want once you've clicked through the links from my website. And then whenever you make a purchase, a small portion of that will go toward me just for referring you. So thank you for that. Also, if you're starting your own podcast, make life easy on yourself by using Libsyn. It's a podcast hosting service. You host your audio files through it, and they just allow you to connect to things like Apple Podcasts, Google Play, all those big podcatchers. You can even make it so that it automatically makes a YouTube video for you out of the file that you just upload for the regular podcast. It can do things like that. So it can do quite a bit. Makes life easy, simple. Libsyn. Have a promo code Franz, or again, just click through the link to use the promo code on my website, and you'll get 2 months of Libsyn for free. So there you go. Thank you so much for listening to the show, for supporting, listening to the Ocelli Radio Network. We appreciate that. And again, it's good to be here live on a Sunday night, as always. If you want to call in, please do. It's 319-527-5016 is the call-in number. Also, you can come on the show through Skype. If you come on through Skype, send Chuck a message. Producer Chuck will bring you on the show once you type him a message. And you can find him at charles.ocelli on Skype. So type charles.ocelli a message on Skype. He'll bring you on. Or just call 319-527-5016 and you'll be on the show with me. I'd be glad to speak with you. So, yes, the phone lines are open. Live show, exciting. It's always fun to take callers, to do a live show. It's exciting. I do enjoy doing a live show. It's something unique and different from just regular old podcasting, and I do like doing things this way. So glad to be here as always. Been out in Landers a lot and been happy about that. It's been nice to be there. It's getting to the point of the year where the weather is just really nice out there. It gets cold in the evening, but in the day it's just wonderful. It's like perfect weather in the daytime. And of course it's peak tourist season out there, so it does get quite busy too. You go into town, go into Yucca Valley, try to go to one of your favorite restaurants, you might not be able to. It's probably going to be too busy. It's peak dining hours. You're out of luck. So that's okay. It's the way it is. And it's an up and coming area out there. I've seen it over the years. I've been out in Southern California since 2008. We've been going out there the whole time we've been here, and it seen the area change a lot in the amount of time. So it's been cool. The old, on the Highway 62 in Morongo Valley, there's a restaurant that it was always called Willy Boys. This restaurant with this giant metal horse out front, and it was never open. It's never been open for as long as I've been here, but the name changed recently this past year to Spaghetti Western Saloon. Somebody bought it and is renovating it, and they're about to reopen it, and it's actually going to be a restaurant, which is interesting. It's just you know, one of those unique landmarks you always drive by, and it's just always been something that has never been open again for as long as I've been here. I guess originally it was from, I don't know when it was built, but apparently Al Capone owned and operated a restaurant. I think it was called Willy Boys originally, and it was owned by Al Capone. I don't know, at first or at one point he did, and it was said to be haunted, blah, 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 but it's reopening now. So I don't know. Now I'm talking about all this, high desert stuff, but I don't know. It's just I'm out there so much, so it's just on my mind, so excuse me for that. and there's all sorts. I mean, I don't know. There's all these crazy news stories to follow, and you know, as I always say, the Age of Transitions just continues onward. We're here in the midst of it, trying to make sense of it for what that's worth as best we can, doing what we can with the little that we do have, which is all we can expect to have or be able to do. Nothing wrong with that. It's just the nature of things. But man, it just, it seems like they just want us to be more and more frustrated and confused, and the media just loves churning out all this stuff that demoralizing content and just, you know, this reality itself keeps getting more and more difficult to traverse. But of course, I mean, we've seen this coming. It's not like it's a big surprise. It shouldn't be a big surprise to anybody. And a lot of the predicted outcomes that have been predicted by reliable sources in the past are coming to pass. So much is being coming to pass, and you know, as time goes on, more and more of the prophecies are being fulfilled, I guess you could say. Nothing that amazing about it. It's just, you know, you can make predictions based on good information if you can come about it. It's a rare commodity, good information, because there's so much bad information, there's so much misinformation, disinformation, and of course that's not that is, it's new for such things to be weaponized. That's old, could say ancient, that information has always been weaponized in one shape or form by different groups throughout time, throughout human history. It's always been the case. But as technology develops, so too do techniques for information warfare, disinformation, misinformation campaigns. And with the democratization of everything, that's a term that is used in technology a lot, like in media specifically, like the democratization of media is things like, you know, a camera is built into everything now, and it's so easy just to be able to make a video and publish it for the world to see. You know, you use YouTube or whatever. That's the concept known as democratization of media. Everything's cheap, ubiquitous, and distribution channels are just there for everybody to instantaneously have access to for free. Free, I guess, in air quotes, you know, there are stipulations. There's a contract you have to buy into, but I mean, so what? That doesn't matter really, right? So it's there. So the democratization, I'm saying, of everything, meaning technology, just is there's tech for everything now. There's an app for it, as they say. There's applications for so many things. And certainly the use of data and analytics in regard to information campaigns, propaganda campaigns, marketing campaigns, whatever anybody might be interested in disseminating in terms of information. There's more and more ways to do that. And there's, I certainly believe there's more and more dirty tricks being played by more and more actors all the time. And so it is that I have a hard time taking many things seriously. I try not to get too frustrated or worked up about it. I just kind of see it as the nature of the beast, right? The nature of the weird digital habitat that we're in here kind of goes with the territory, is all this nonsense, confusion, insanity. And of course, with the democratization of media comes the democratization of celebrity culture. Celebrity culture used to be the property of the establishment media, right? Because the only media that was around were the media that was owned by the businesses who owned and operated. You know, it was a big business, and you had to have big money to have the equipment and the facilities and everything to create media. Now that everybody can do it and distribute it to their heart's content, the celebrity machine has now been democratized likewise, you see. So anybody can become a YouTube star, anybody can become a big sensation on TikTok or whatever social media platform happens to be popular this minute. You can become big and famous, and it is somewhat interesting to see the old media sort of getting on board with the new media, where you know, you see like these programs they make for older demographics, like Dancing with the Stars, will have celebrities from social media. They'll have like TikTok stars and stuff on, and the cynic in me tends to believe that's probably just pandering for a wider demographic, more ratings. Like, oh, like maybe we can get some of the kids to actually watch the show if we put one of these TikTok stars that they know on. That way it's just not grandma watching it and all by herself, you know. Maybe the kids will start watching the show too, you know. That's probably what's going on there. I mean, again, that's just boring, like, media business stuff. But anyway, anybody can be a celebrity. And you kind of have to be if you want to be anything. If you want to get anywhere with your media projects online, you kind of have to play the game of, well, yeah, I need to promote myself. I need to promote my name. I got to, you know, talk in a weird, loud voice and in a very strange tone and have weird mannerisms and move around in odd ways to have YouTube videos that keep people watching them, keep them engaged. You kind of have to act like an idiot to make content like that. Somebody sitting here and speaking kind of and let's face it, kind of a dull tone like myself isn't going to get a lot of attention. That's not going to happen. I mean, I could sit up here and I could change my voice and get all pretend like I'm excited about this, that, or the other thing. But I would be wise to do that. It would be smart, but I'm not smart, so I don't. I just sit up here and I speak in my boring monotone voice, and I speak about things that most people probably don't want to hear or listen to. So that's fine. But if I wanted to be listened to by a bunch of people, I just read all the I'd look over all the there's examples out there. It's like, okay, this person gets a billion views per video, and let's just study what they do. Okay, they talk like this, they move around like this, the camera does this, they do quick cuts, they do this, the content that they choose is this because people want to see it, they want to hear this, you know. So you get all involved in that game, And it can be fun. It can you can gamify that, right? You can apply game theory to everything, and of course, technocratic overlords love doing that. So, you know, why don't we take a page from the technocratic overlord handbook and just apply game theory to everything? And again, if you're smart enough to do that, you will figure out ways to manipulate the public, just like the old mainstream media has been doing for so long. And, you know, that's how they get results, by manipulating the consciousness of the viewer. So, you know, if you want to get anywhere, that's probably what you probably ought to do. Find out how to manipulate people one way or the other. It's wise. It's what all the smart people do. Okay, you got to be real smart to be able to get good at that. And I guess my choice of words is horrendous, obviously, because you don't necessarily have to be smart to do it. You just have to be really cunning, and you don't necessarily have to be smart. You just have to be clever. You have to be clever, and you have to, you know, figure out how to do different tricks, right? What trick works? And we've just seen so many, and the same stuff in the new media, social media, alternative media, all the medias that seem to be outside of the old legacy media, mainstream legacy media, everything outside of that still uses the same things, and it had ought to. Again, the nature of the beast, right? And so we get fun stories like, you know, Kanye West, what is he? Whatever his name is now, and he's having his little identity crisis. I'm not gonna sit here and pretend like I know what's going through his head, or I know his intentions, or any of that, because I don't even know if he knows that. He's not stupid, so I wouldn't call him that. He's definitely is clever at doing certain things. His motivations for doing the things he's done as of late, I don't know what they are. Again, I don't ultimately really care, but here I am talking about it, and I feel kind of almost embarrassed that I'm even addressing this nonsense. But I do see a corollary here to things that I've talked about over time on the show. So, I mean, Kanye West, everybody knows he's been having these anti-Semitic tirades in the media. He's been railing off about how the Jews are in control of everything and evil. And he went on Alex Jones recently saying that Hitler is cool. And, you know, this is all quite shocking to most people. And it should be. It's ridiculous and it's insane. And it begs the question of, does West really, or Ye, is he really believing this, or is he just like trying to get attention, which we know he loves to do? And honestly, it might just be a case of that. This is like he found a new way to get attention, so he's just going for it. He's going for broke. So yeah, this is a real good way to get attention. Let's try this out and see where it takes us. And he might, I know he is megalomaniacal in his ego for sure. And so he might think like he's so great that he'll be able to pull anything off, and he might have bit off more than he can chew. But again, who knows really? Who cares? The interesting thing to me in all of this is that it just sounds like so much that we have heard before. And by we, I mean those of us who pay attention to. Oh, Chuck, what's up?
Yeah, well, I had a quick question. I wasn't trying to interrupt your flow because I'm enjoying this. I love your stream of consciousness shows. These are beautiful, man. But I guess I got to hijack it for a second. A couple of quick things. One, I have the clip that, of course, the MSM has now all picked up, and I played it first on Jack Blood's show, but then on mine. And if you want to, we could run the part of the AJ clip, just so you know. And the other thing is, I'm curious about something because I've taken note of this over the past week or so, that certain people say yay and certain people say ye.
Yes, yes.
Now, it seems to me as though, and now here we go, now Chuck's a racist too, but it seems to me as though white people are saying yay. And others seem to be saying ye.
Now, see, this is I thought it was ye at first. And I heard somebody say yay, so I'm saying yay. I don't know. Like, does he even know what it is? Like, well, I wonder if it, like,
well, it's Y-E. It's Y-E, but, I mean, it's nothing as bad as, you know, the artist formerly known as Prince, because now he's a symbol. But, you know, it's not like that, but at the same time, it's this weird thing where I'm hearing yay or ye, and nobody's commenting on who's actually got it right. He's not even mentioning it. He's too busy, you know, thinking that Hitler has something to contribute and whatever. But, I mean, and by the way, I still say, even though when I played it on Friday night, I still say we have to say allegedly that's him on the Alex Jones show because there's a full mask there. And to me, there's something wrong with the voice there. Now, I'm not sure if somebody's disturbed, their voice becomes a bit, you know, if somebody's upset or excited, your voice can change a bit. And I'm by no means an expert on Kanye West's voice, but something sounds off to me in his voice, and it's not just the fact that he's in a complete, you know, face mask. Although that's a little weird. Why are you going to go on a show? People know who you're supposed to be, but you fully masked your face. No facial recognition on the video, but here's my voice. Yeah. I don't know. The whole thing is very strange, and accordingly, publicly, supposedly, he's lost a lot of money, and there has been a recent settlement between him and Kim Kardashian. I mean, there's a lot to consider here. You know, and it's not like Kanye's going to be panhandling anytime soon. I mean, you're talking about a guy who went from possibly $1 billion to half. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's not really going to hurt your lifestyle if now, oh, I only have $400 million left. And who knows what the real value of anything is or what he's actually got or what, you know, the proceeds from the things that he has ownership over that are not obvious, you know. I mean, because remember, he's a producer. He's obviously got pieces of other artists' work. I don't know how much that's worth or not worth, but so it's possible that, you know, it doesn't matter to him, or maybe some of this stuff is being exaggerated, or this is just a giant media psyop in order to maintain his relevance, and maybe there is a bigger master plan. And then, of course, there's the argument that maybe he's just mentally disturbed and does not know what he's doing. And you know what? I can't really argue with any of the ye or yay theories any which way. But for some reason, I tend to think it's ye. And I'm not sure about
that. That was my first thing. I thought it was ye. Then somebody threw me off by saying yay, and I don't even know. It sounds like a pronoun he made up, you know?
Right. But was the person that was, you know, correcting you to yay, was that a white person? Just by chance.
Yeah, it was. It was a melanin challenged person, a talking head on TV. So,
okay, because it does appear to me as those that are melanin challenged, and indeed possibly melanin deficient. You know, the ice people as opposed to the sun people. It appears to me as though they are insistent on calling him yay, and ye is for others. And I don't know if that's significant or if I am just, you know, adhering to my American programming, which is extremely racialist, if not racist, one way or another, because we do tend to think in terms of race and things like this almost by default, simply by living in this place called America. So I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I was just curious because I know you'd usually like to know which is the correct way to pronounce things like this. And
Yeah. If there's a correct way, that's the way I want to say it. I just don't know which one it is now. So we'll just default to ye, I guess.
Neither. No. I'm not trying to correct you at all. Look, look, you do you and do right. I would say that to anybody, but I'm very curious about this, and I know it's probably like not even a real point considering all the rest of it. And like I said, if you want that clip, no problem. But, you know, it has been played many, many places, and I pulled it off of the New York Post YouTube channel, which is a funny thing.
How long is the clip? How long does it go?
The AJ part, the whole thing is, let me see. It's not long at all. It's, I guess I shortened it down to about 33 seconds.
Okay.
Yeah, it's okay. Nothing time-wise. And I got it from the New York Post YouTube channel, which, by the way, I love the fact that you bring up that the legacy media, if you will. You got to remember a few years ago, not too many years ago, but some years ago, things like YouTube was a joke to the legacy
yes.
media. It was
yes.
like,
they would make fun of people.
What are you going to be?
Podcasters, yeah. YouTubers, and now they're like groveling to have them on their programming.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Right. And I mean, that's infected everything. I mean, who was it? Jake Paul was a YouTube guy who wound up, you know, and now he's got like a boxing career. What the hell is going on? you know?
Yeah.
At first, you know, it was old men in, you know, like old retired boxers, getting into, you know, expo, what do you call that? Exhibition matches with them. But now, like, yeah. you know, for real, this guy's a fighter. Okay,
well,
anyway.
We need yeah. AI to reincarnate Andy Warhol to make any sense out of any of this so that he can tell us what's going on.
Well, you know, I was thinking about that too recently. And look, I'm going to close on this and get off your show. And hopefully some people call in and stuff. But if not, we'll just go with the rest of your stream of consciousness and I'm going to love it. But the thing is, I was curious about this. Do you think Andy Warhol would even stick out during this time? Like, how far would Andy Warhol have to go?
Yeah.
To actually be, remarkable right now? I mean, oh, I'm gonna go and wrestle with Jerry the King Lawler. Yes, so what? Our president.
No, that's Andy Kaufman. You're talking about Andy Kaufman.
Oh, no, but okay, yeah. Andy Kaufman, yes, true. But also Andy Warhol, how far would he have to stick out even? Either one of them. How about that?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because there's elements of both of them at play in all this we're talking about. I feel like if Warhol was around now, he would kind of like, and God knows, you can't predict what the hell a guy like that would even do, but like I like to believe that if he were around, he would kind of like take the director's role again and kind of like seek out these people that want attention for themselves.
But would he
and
get
maybe like kind of like look at them?
But see, but here's the thing. Okay, so for both of these guys, and my mouth got ahead of my brain. I'm sorry. I was going to bring up both Andys. And the thing is, for Andy Kaufman, wrestling with Jerry the King Lawler doesn't matter because, I mean, look, our president is in the WWE Hall of Fame, right? You know, our former president.
Yes.
So, okay, Andy Warhol is the artist, obviously, but think about the things that have become art and the fact that you have AI machines generating art and the way that business has gone. Like, how the hell would Andy Warhol even be? You know, quirky and strange at this point. Like, what level would he have to go to be the Andy Warhol of the 2020s? And also, same thing with Andy Kaufman. What level would you have to go to be the Andy Kaufman of today?
Yeah.
I really have a hard time figuring out how you would be the nail that sticks up. I think they would get lost in the sauce, man. Both of them.
I think to pull off like the new Andy Kaufman model, you would have to find a way to basically do what everybody else is doing, but call attention to the structure of it and the whys and do something that at least seems so outrageous that it causes you to question the whole thing, like what the hell are these YouTubers even doing?
Well, and the even strangest thing is that before they even get to what the hell the YouTubers are doing and the days of watching people play video games online and them being successful with that, I mean PewDiePie beginning the massive trend, but even before you get there, these guys would have to contend with stuff that, you know, almost all of us have forgotten about, except, you know, probably people in the X generation, like Jackass. Jackass crosses both of them, as far as, you know, the outliers in the pop culture and also the physical comedian. You'd have to deal with Jackass, which hardly anybody gives a crap about. That's like yawn, Jackass, great.
Yeah, well, yeah, all these things have been integrated into the new form of media, the social media. And the social media feed is like this disjointed, crazy. It reminds me of kind of like, not to be self-indulgent here, but kind of like almost the structure of my old cable access shows, or I just film weird stuff, like
odd TV.
Purposely film like the weirdest and like most. It'd be such a wide array of different things I'd film from real life too, mainly.
Right.
And then I'd just cut it all together in this disjointed, weird way to be a half-hour show, and that was my show.
I love it too. It's one of the greatest things you ever. I was it was like a side gift that you threw in with a few other things that you were sending me one time, and I was like, wow, this is great. You know, did I tell you somebody stole that?
Oh, well, I can get you another. I have plenty of those things.
Oh, yeah. I'd really love another DVD of it because somebody stole my Odd TV DVD.
That's funny.
Because it was so weird. It was just like, this is really, really weird. Can you get me a copy? I said, yeah, I'll ask about it. And the next thing I know, it disappeared. And so the guy I don't talk to anymore. Anyway, a vacuum cleaner is coming my way, so I'm going to get off the mic and let you get back to your stream of consciousness. But I wanted to throw that in, Aaron. I'm sorry. It just felt appropriate. And if you want that clip, I can run
that.
Yeah,
actually, you know what? Let's play that clip because it'll help me kind of like jog my memory of this nonsense, and then we'll kind of go from there. So, yeah, why don't you just play that real quick?
Fair enough.
That's right. You're not Hitler. You're not a Nazi. You don't deserve to be called that and demonized.
Well, I see good things about Hitler also. I love everyone. I'm done with the classifications. Every human being has something of value that they brought to the table, especially Hitler.
What do I mean? Like, okay, so how about, are you leaving?
Are you afraid of the press?
He's gone.
What he even looks like. But, yeah, that's bizarre choice. It all just reads as like a weird, like, you know, bizarre sort of performance art piece, and doing something specifically just for shock value. It really comes off as that, and, you know, big surprise, he's saying how wonderful Hitler is. I mean, what do you think the reaction to that is going to be? It's going to be obvious. Everybody has the same reaction to that. Being you're an idiot, you know, so there's that. But as I was saying before, I mean, this is to a lot of us, to so many, this is kind of like a new sort of thing. Like they haven't seen anything quite like this before, but it seems familiar to me. And I know that Ye has been, delving into, you know, like deep conspiracy stuff lately, and of course he's gone on the anti-Jewish, anti-Zionist, whatever. He's gone into that area of conspiracy, conspiranoia land. What a wonderful area that is, cesspool of nonsense that is. But he seems legitimately interested in that. He seems like he definitely is down for that cause, whatever that even means. I mean, in alternative media a few years back, it seemed like a phenomenon to me that so many people that would have before like decried Nazis and actually, you know, compared things with the establishment, problems with the establishment, like their critiques with it, they would compare it to like Nazi Germany and things like that. People would do that. And then these same people turned around years later and said, oh, you know what? The Nazis were misunderstood. Hitler was misunderstood. We actually should go back and we should listen to that. And you know what? Actually, and they go to like such an extent where they basically are promoting fascism as awesome. And like all this racist, terrible stuff with the white genocide concept, and these same people would cherry pick news stories where they'd show like either migrants or people of color like doing violent crimes. Like, look, another black person committed a rape. Oh, that means that, you know, white people are in danger. What they would do this sort of thing. That was just like, really? You're doing this? It didn't even seem real. It was like so ridiculous and pathetic. But they were doing it. And this was like infecting big swaths of the alternative scene, whatever, you know, for what that's worth. Like, people who absolutely would not have been on board for that before, all of a sudden, because there were so many, you know, big names, you know, for what it's worth in the genre or whatever, were starting to espouse all these ideas, that it really caught traction and wound us around to where we are today. It was almost like it was like a trend for a while, but it's definitely it's almost wrong to call it that. I realize that, but it was just bizarre for me to see that happen. And now it seems like Kanye West is kind of going in that same direction. And exactly what that means, because he is bringing that same sort of bizarre sort of phenomenon to a wider audience. That same sort of the mainstream audience is now having that same sort of experience I felt like I did 10 years ago or so when, you know, Henrik Palmgren started saying how awesome or how terrible white genocide is, how cool Hitler is and things like that, and having all these nuts on his show. Different kinds of nuts than he used to have. You know, people that used to talk about alien abductions is one kind of nut, but people come on saying how we need to have fascism in the U.S. to save the white race or whatever. That's a whole new and horrifying brand of crazy, which is actually dangerous. So, I don't know. I just, there's a corollary there that I can't let go. And again, exactly what it means, I don't know yet, but I do know that the mainstreaming of alternative conspiracy concepts is definitely a huge aspect of what's going on politically now. Politics is informed by this, definitely. Mainstream politics has become that. And so I have to believe that this is a reflection of that. And again, where this goes will be interesting to see. Story to follow, I think. And I could really care less about what happens to Ye, to Kanye West, where he, I mean, who cares really? But what he's bringing about is important. What he's fallen into and what he is a part of. And of course, his advisors that, what's his name? Milo Yiannopoulos was part of his little gang. And then that other, white nationalist guy, whatever, whoever. He's probably been on, Red Ice Radio several times. The guy that is Kanye West's friend that has been going around with him on all these shows. His name eludes me now, but again, who really cares? But he's definitely one of those characters. And Milo Yiannopoulos, of course. So, I mean, it's interesting. The alternative, the conspiracy world, the really big portion of it being the extreme right wing, the fringe right wing faction, which lives in this weird alternative ecosystem online, which had exclusively existed in that realm, has eked its way out into the mainstream and continues wanting more and more power in the mainstream political scene. It's getting that. And it's getting more and more mainstream attention in the media, of course. The more ridiculous deeds, misdeeds, and wacky misadventures they get into. What are those wacky Proud Boys and Oath Keepers up to this week? What did they do this time? What did Kanye West say today? You know? So these are mainstream topics. But they're born out of this weird world, this fringe world. It came from out of the fringe and out into the mainstream. It's there now. And so now we've got this weird anti-Jewish, anti-Zionist nonsense, that whole aspect of everything that people who have looked at this for years are well aware of. That's all part of a mainstream dialogue now. And I would think, I would have to think that by this going public, it's going to make that phenomenon, because a lot of people got on board with all this stuff years ago. People that I was surprised would, like, I thought that they were at least smarter than, to know better than that, but they weren't. Shows again how smart I am. we can all be fooled. It's easy to be fooled. And I think a lot of people are, as they've been fooled before by this garbage, I think a lot more people will be fooled and at a larger scale now. So we're going to see this sort of stuff. And of course, the big, big critics of all of this, you know, are right in a lot of senses that, like, look, this is a dangerous thing. It's not good what is going – it has to be condemned. It has to be called out for what it is. Yes, I'm absolutely agree with that. It's ridiculous. It's horrible. Anybody who would subscribe to this is out of their mind, disturbed. They need help. They need to be corrected. But a lot of people will jump on board with it because somebody famous said it and it feels exciting and it feels like you're being a rebel and doing it. And it's the opposite of what the establishment wants you to do, at least on the surface of things, it seems that way. So you're going to go ahead and do it because you're just, you know, so much of the alternative fringe conspiracy realm just takes the George Costanza philosophy of do the opposite. Philosophy is like, I'll just do the opposite of what I would do, right? So, like, they just do the opposite of what they think the mainstream does. And that is always the default correct. That's always right. That's always the right thing to do just because it's contrarian. It's just because it's opposite of what, you think, is expected of you, which is always wrong because you're always being told lies and the wrong thing by the mainstream, which is not true. The mainstream doesn't just always tell you lies and tell you complete falsehoods and tell you they're not completely wrong. They give you truth, but then they spin that and then they interpret it and they lead you in a direction. Certainly, everybody does. Everybody who's making media does this and presents it with a certain spin. You can't avoid this. Even when you pretend that you're not, you're still doing it. And so it's really asinine to think that, like, automatically the opposite is what you should be doing. But it's the easy way to do things. And so, of course, so it is that that's what most people are just going to do. It's like, I need an easy interpretation that I can just instantly know what to do at all times, instantaneously, because, you know, this new media ecosystem we're in, if anything else, it values instant gratification, and you must instantly have an answer. You must instantly post something. You have to, like, when something becomes a story, I've hit this Kanye West thing way too late, and it's already irrelevant. So I'm doing the completely wrong thing here. But you know what I mean? Like, you instantly have to watch the video, have a reaction to it, and say what you have to say about it, and then it's on to the next thing. It's not deriving any meaning out of anything. It's not trying to investigate things. It's not trying to ask any real questions like, well, why did this happen? What's going on? What is it part of? None of that stuff matters. You can talk about, you can pretend to talk about that stuff for a minute, but it doesn't truly matter. What matters is if you yourself find some clever way to get a big reaction out of people with your reaction to this. So certainly we're living in a reactionary environment, aren't we? Which is, had ought to be worrying to anybody with any kind of sense, is that that's the world we're in now. It's a reactionary landscape. It's a reactionary existence that we're living out here. Certainly in the virtual online world, the social media world, it's reactionary, no matter who you are. I think we'd all be wise to admit to that. Because if we don't, we're going to get ourselves in bigger trouble. Which seems almost inevitable, doesn't it? And so it is that we keep riding on this wild ride. And, you know, I think everybody derives pleasure out of this, is the sick part of it. We are all enjoying this because it's wild, it's crazy, it's exciting. We don't know what's going to happen next. So there is exciting. There's novelty in it, for sure. But it is dangerous, too. And so, I just think a lot of people are at the point where it's like, you know, who cares now? Like, whatever. Like, what? I don't have anything left to lose. So it doesn't matter. We could end up anywhere, and it's going to be not going to be worse than what we're already doing. So what? It just seems like that's where so many people are, understandably. Not judging that at all. I'm just saying that's how it is. I'm not mad at anyone for feeling like that. It's logical to have that reaction, and I don't fault it. But we can certainly fault Kanye West, whatever he's doing, whatever he thinks he's doing, whether he's being puppeteered by his handlers or whether he is in control, out of control. I mean, whatever. Doesn't matter that much. But anyway, this is a live show. If you want to call in, you can. 319-527-5016. There is enough time at the end of this show if you want to call in quickly. Also, the lines will be open during the uncle portion of the show, too. So, same number to call in there. You can also come on through Skype, Charles Sotocelli on Skype, or 319-527-5016. Looks like in the Ocelli.com chat room, Chuck is posting this. I want to read this because it looks interesting. Ukraine, Canada, two spots in Australia, and wherever the hell Mountain View, California is, are all listening. Call listeners from Sacramento to Jose, welcome. Okay, yeah, Mountain View, I believe, is in that area. I'm pretty sure it's in Silicon Valley. We tend to get lots of listeners up that way, which I am quite proud of. People are listening up in that area. It means that, maybe I've gotten attention from people who actually are relevant to the part of playing a large part in the things I'm complaining about or listening in, for whatever reason, you know. And I'm not here to criticize anybody that might be living and working in Silicon Valley. There's plenty of people that are stuck in industries that they hate, or you got to get a job and work somewhere. So, you're smart and you go to college and you get a degree for some field that is going to, you're going to be employed and get work there. So that's complete. I don't fault anybody for doing that, for getting involved in tech, getting a job in Silicon Valley. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. Even getting a job at something that is is not a good place. I mean, but most people, I think, end up just going through the motions, getting their degree, trying to live their life, trying to survive, make enough money to live, for God's sake. Do that the best way you can. And then they get involved, and the industry that they chose ends up being something that they really despise. And you get to see the dark side of it. And that happens to anybody, no matter what job you end up taking. You get to see, like, all sides of it. You get to see it from the inside, like, ugh, this is how terrible this really is. And you never know from the outside. But living and working in that, you go like, oh, gosh, what a mess this is. But the individual person, that's not their fault. There's nothing they can even do about it. And to really circle off into a weird area, I'm going to bring this back to, like, the Banksy phenomenon, where I've talked about this before, and Adam and I have talked about this in our review of Exit Through the Gift Shop on Themes and Memes. But I absolutely believe that Banksy is not a single person. It's a collective. It's a collective of people. And those people are creatives, people who work in the creative fields, in art, They work in art. They work in entertainment. And it seems to me they're upset and disillusioned, disenfranchised with the business side of what they do that they got into, I'm sure, because they loved making art, right? Just like me as a child, I loved making art, so I went to art school. I almost became a professional, but I was too inept to pull it off. And we're getting a call, so we will take it. So, caller, you are on the Age of Transitions. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Chris Graves from Massachusetts. How are you, Aaron?
Very good. Thanks for being on the line, Chris. Great to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you. I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm actually very intrigued about what you were about to say. What were you going to become almost
well,
in the creative field?
Yeah, I studied media, animation, video, all that. I did very well in school, art. I went to an art school, so I took, you know, traditional art classes too, fine art classes. I excelled, but then I think, again, I'm kind of socially inept, so I didn't pull off the career thing when I got out. And so it is that I work blue-collar jobs now, which I'm fine with, and I'm not mad. That's the way things turned out, and it's nobody's fault but my own. That's where we're at. So there you go, Chris. And then I forget where I was going beyond that.
No, I'm very much a kindred spirit, my friend. Maybe not with, like, drawing and things like that, but just creativity and, you know, kind of storytelling and things like that. So I feel you. I hear what you're saying.
Well, I mean, the other side of the story is I don't get mad at it either, because I could end up like one of these people that are part of the Banksy project, and my only real outlet is being part of a project like that to bitch about the things I hate about at my work, which is something that I should have loved, but I don't, because inevitably it gets corrupted by whoever owns the industry, right? So I don't feel bad about
right.
it. You know, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah, I've been there. Still there.
Yeah.
But we have our own little outlets here, right? You know?
Yes, we do. We do. I'm proud of what we're doing here at the Ochilli Radio Network, all of us, Chris, so a fellow host here. So good to
I'm actually opening up my eyes a bit more, and I didn't even realize that you were in the game doing interviews and stuff for a long time, and I just didn't realize it, because we talked about last week about how you interviewed Dave McGowan like 3 times, and I realized that I did hear your interviews like years ago. I just didn't know who you were at the time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cool. That's cool.
Oh, that was really great. And I'm glad you got to interview someone like Dave, because he's a personal hero of mine, you know, to this day. And I try to keep his memory alive whenever I can, like on other people's shows and things, you know, point them to his website and everything, you know, his articles and books and things. So it was pretty cool. I'm going back and looking at other interviews you did. And if you don't mind me asking, when did you actually start like interviewing people, like officially? Like, do you remember the year?
Probably around 2010 or so, somewhere around there.
Okay.
I want to say is when I started doing this. Probably, yeah.
I thought like maybe you might be like, yeah, right after 9/11, I started a radio show or something. And I'd be like, there's a lot of shows that I missed.
Yeah, no, it hasn't been that long, but it's been a while. It's been exciting. I've learned a lot, and beyond just interviewing people, I've actually met a few people. I used to do more like traveling around and showing up on the scene and filming at places, but now that I'm like kind of got the family and stuff, I don't do that so much. But I would come across some interesting people doing that, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, I used to do stuff up until actually during the lockdown too. It made it a little easier just to take little road trips with less people on the road. But I used to go to like movie locations where they filmed certain things, like Jaws. I went to Martha's Vineyard. I went to the Ghostbusters firehouse in New York City. You know, Tribeca.
Cool.
But I also would go to people's graves too. I don't know if that's too, you know, I don't know if that's too morbid or not, but I would go to like some notable people's graves, like H.P. Lovecraft is buried right in Providence, Rhode Island, and, you know, Benjamin Franklin's grave right there in Philadelphia, and, you know, like famous, even Bill Cooper. I visited his grave in Arizona when I was going cross country. You know?
Yes.
So yep. Don't take pictures. I don't know if that's disrespectful. I mean, no, it probably is. I don't know.
I mean, people make a memorial to be seen, right? So, like, if they didn't want a memorial, they wouldn't put it there. You know what I mean? So it's nothing wrong with doing that. I think that's what you're supposed to do, I feel like.
Yeah, like I didn't make any money off of it. Or like, here's everyone's graves. Now, for 1995, you can see. No, I didn't do that.
Chris Grace presents other people's graves.
People's Graves by Chris Grace.
The old series. Right, you know,
that might be a little. That might be a little exploitative. But,
Great. Welcome to Graves. Yeah. Graves brought to you by Audible or whatever.
By Audible and yeah.
Go to Amazon.
Snack food or whatever. Yeah.
That might be
Graves treats. Bad. You eat them and. You might as well meet them. I don't know.
Yeah,
but I'd go and find people like Andy Kaufman and John Belushi on their graves. And, it's and Charles Bronson up in Vermont. Different weird people, Whitey Bulger. He's actually buried on top of his parents because he couldn't even get his own grave, apparently.
Sure. Yeah, it's always fascinating to see like the people that you think of as like being made it, you know, they made it, they're big shot, rich, famous. Yeah. Usually it's like, take out the first part, the rich part, the famous part, yes, the rich, not so much. That happens a lot.
Yeah, and they'll tell you, people that are rich and famous will tell you, I'd rather just the rich, I'd rather the anonymity, the nothing good came of the fame. You know, rich, I can pay the bills and get security. But,
yeah.
You know what I mean? The famous part is a little, I feel like the new generation that's here now and TikTok and all that, they're preoccupied with this fame thing. And it's just pleasing. Like, famous to be famous is nothing to be proud of or search out. You know, it's just a hollow thing. It doesn't really mean anything in the end of the day, in my opinion, you know?
Yeah, I agree. But Chris, if you want, do you want to stay on the show and be there for the Uncle Show, or do you want to get going now? Because the Uncle Show's coming right up.
Oh, yeah, no, I'll let you do your thing. Yeah, no, I was going to call in the Uncle later on anyway, but yeah, I'm probably going to do a couple things, and then I'll call in later on.
All right, well, yep, it's great to talk to you, man. Thanks for calling in. We'll talk to you soon, I hope.
Hey, man, it's always a pleasure. We'll talk to you very soon.
All right, take
Graves,
care.
Graves, coming.
All right,
take care, man.
Take care. And, of course, the current show is Get Mad with Chris Graves, Mad being mutually assured distraction. So do listen to that. That's on the Ocelli Radio Network. And, of course, this is the Age of Transitions on the Ocelli Radio Network, leading right into Uncle the Broadcast coming up next. Keep listening. My name is Aaron Franz. My website, theageoftransitions.com. And I'll leave you this week, as always, by saying, Seeker, seek on.
The Age of Transitions.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold. Silver. The stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough.
Maybe you're thinking about getting started.
WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
Go there now.
Go there now.
We interrupt this program with a special bulletin. America is now under martial law. All constitutional rights have been suspended. Stay in your home. Do not attempt to contact loved ones, insurance agents, or attorneys. Shut up. Do not attempt to think or depression may occur. Stay in your home. Curfew is at 7 p.m. sharp after work. Anyone caught outside the gates of their subdivision sectors after curfew will be shot. Remain calm. Do not panic. Your neighborhood watch officer will be by to collect urine samples in the morning. Anyone caught interfering with the collection of urine samples will be shot. Stay in your home. Remain calm.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
Cut him down. Cut him up. Cut him down. Cut it up.
News, entertainment, and more. You will learn something, children's. Ocelli.com.
The views expressed by callers, co-hosts, or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
Revelation through conversation.
Uncle, I'll bet you remember the time when Benjamin Fulford said that the Asian Secret Society was going to dispatch ninjas to take out the Illuminati to change the entire world for the better.
That is never gonna happen. That never did.
It never did, did it?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, because there's a lot of false promises.
It's fools? I can't say one.
We better not say and be polite, but there are no false promises at the Ocelli.com radio network.
That's exactly it. Not. It's truth, the point, right to the point. And this is what I like. Straight to the point.
Ocelli.
Ocelli.com.
Listen now.
Listen now.
Warning, 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 warning.
This is a emergency broadcast. Code Red, Code Red, here we are. Pick up your iPads, your cell phones, and hand me and listen to Uncle the Podcast. Watch out. If you're sitting down for this, or if you're standing up, you better get ready for this, because it's going to hit the eardrums. Uncle the Broadcast.
You are listening to Uncle the Broadcast. My name is Aaron. I'm the nephew-in-law. Here with me is the star of the show, Uncle.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is 282. We're on. I'm going to try to hit 300 by New Year's Revolution. That's my aim.
It's a fine goal to have there, Uncle.
That's the goal I'm after.
The revolution's fast approaching because we're in the month of December now. It's just around the corner. So it's exciting.
That's Christmas.
I know. That's what I'm saying. And
okay, people, start calling up. Here we go. First caller, answer the phone. Hello.
It's lively. People are at the Ocelli.com chat. They're in the chat at YouTube, Twitter, or YouTube and Twitch, rather. So we're live on YouTube, Twitch, Twitter.
What was that new one again?
Trovo. I'm glad you asked, Uncle. It's called Trovo.
Can't even get that one on my phone.
We're live streaming video on all those platforms.
It's funny. The revolution is going to be on a Saturday this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good in a way because they can unload themselves, pass out on on Saturday night, and then Sunday won't have to go to work.
that is perfect. Yeah.
But you don't throw up, because every time we have this, it's getting to a point that you can't handle.
That's right, a big ask.
All right, full disclosure. True. Full disclosure. Did Aaron throw up?
I'm just telling what's true.
Did Aaron throw up last year after the revolution?
He did have something.
He had something.
That was sick.
I had something?
Got sick. Yeah.
Did I get sick?
Yeah.
I can't recall if I got sick. I am a victim of the next day. I'll tend to get a hangover pretty
hangovers
easy.
Hangovers, too. Oh, no, hangovers. I expect to get hangovers.
Especially these days. Yeah, it's hard to avoid a hangover you for get me it. Anymore.
I get those. You.
Yeah.
Oh, by the facts, don't we have a revolution of these guys having a test beer?
Mm. Oh, you know what? I'm talking to Bumline Bob. We need to be on. We're going to do a show with him soon. We're trying to figure out what to drink. And we're
it's that one that we haven't tested yet.
Yes, I think I do. I suggested one, so maybe
I didn't test. You test. I didn't test.
You know what? Maybe I'll talk to Bob, and maybe I can bring him. Maybe he could be a guest. We're actually going to take off next week. I didn't mention this. I don't think we can do a show next week. So
what's happening next week?
Some people know. We got things going on that I'm not going to be able to do it.
Oh, but on a Sunday?
Yeah, on a Sunday. Yes. So I do just so people I don't even are warned, know this. So they know.
Yeah, well,
next week we won't be here. Sorry, I wish that we would be, but no.
So but that we're means, here now. Yeah. So that means on the 11th you won't be broadcasting. But oh, wait a minute. Now here's the thing: the 11th you don't broadcast. You broadcast on the 18th, and then the next Sunday is Christmas.
Oh boy, that's crazy! And then the one yeah. after that is.
Is the day the after the revolution.
So, day after the revolution.
You, okay, I see where you're getting, Chuck.
Yeah.
Okay, well, take a break when he wants to take a break right now. Because these next two are going to be long. Not this one. Or right. Not the next one. Mm-hmm. The longest one is the revolution. And that's going to take, you know... Chuck.
Right.
Well, so, almost 4 hours.
So here's the thing. That means that if you don't do Christmas and you don't do the first, right, then that means you've only got one more show before the revolution because that's just the 18th. That's the only show you're going to do, and then it's the revolution.
Oh, boy.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So that means if you want off, take off next week. If you need to, take off. But
I think I have
it
to.
It has to continue from there on in.
Oh, yeah, we will. We will. There's. It's just a fluke that we had to be off next week. But, yeah, I guess that's the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
We're going to be gone next week and then just one more till a revolution. That's crazy.
I got another big problem. Uh-oh. I haven't gone chomping yet.
Oh, Christmas.
But nobody wants to know what they want. I got one idea somebody can want, but I don't know who everybody else wants.
It's tough. Uncle, let's let people know that they can call in. It's a live show, 319-527-5016, mm-hmm. or Skype charles.ocelli. Send him a message. We're live on the Ocelli Radio Network, as we are every Sunday night, except for next Sunday. Yeah, we're live on...
I don't know what it is.
And it looks like you'll be off on Christmas, but what I will do on the radio network is broadcast some special Christmas stuff on that Sunday. I don't know if Chris Graves is going to try and do a show on Christmas Day, but if he doesn't, it doesn't matter. There will be the unusual stuff that I play on Christmas for the network. So I play comedy bits and funny songs and stuff like that, try and keep people company. And who knows, maybe I'll drop in and do a broadcast myself on Christmas. We'll see. But yeah, so that way, you know, you'll have something different to listen to Christmas Day. On Kelly.com.
We had it. If I'm right, we had one last Christmas, didn't we?
We did a show on Christmas.
I think we did one. Well, that
I
was.
I can't recall. Honestly, I don't remember doing a show on Christmas.
I think you guys did a Christmas Eve, maybe.
Oh, we might have been a Christmas Eve. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, we did do that. We did do that. Christmas I remember Eve. That. Not Christmas Day, but
yeah,
Christmas
that was
Eve.
It. That was it. Christmas Eve.
Okay. They tell me that the Twitch feed is down, but I from my dashboard thing says it's streaming. I don't know. It says we have two viewers there, so I don't know what's going on with that. But if you want to just go over to YouTube or go over to Twitter or go to whatever the hell Trovo is, we're on that too. Check that out.
I still don't know what Trovo is. Yeah,
it doesn't really matter. We're on it, Uncle. Who cares what it is? Let it roll. We're doing this live stream thing, live stream video.
Live stream stuff. You know, my big one is Levolution. That is my big show.
It's a big show.
But, and you can't skip it.
We won't. We won't skip
that. That's the one I never want to skip.
We won't. We'll be there, and of course, we encourage all of you to call in that night. We want to hear what you're doing for your New Year's Eve. We want to know what your revolution is. Oh, we got some cool people in the chat. I'm seeing Adam Clark at YouTube. I'm also seeing Darren Bowles, who I knew. Darren, Twitch is down, audio only, no video. Oh, that's a bummer. Well, thanks for letting us know, everybody in the chat. Yeah, people are migrating over to the YouTube, so I'm glad you're doing that too.
What's going on with you?
I couldn't tell you why it's happening. It might be even that after the fact the video's there, but it's not live. I don't know.
Sometimes, I gotta tell you, sometimes with these video streaming things, Uncle, you don't know what's happening until afterwards. It's a weird thing. Like I've been struggling with StreamYard over on Rockfin. Tried to go live several times over there and everything looks like it's okay, and then people go there and they go, yeah, you're not live. Yeah. I don't know why. You know, it's kind of a minor miracle that I pull off keeping the audio stream rolling all the time over here, because stuff happens and you don't even see it happening anymore. You used to have more control, honestly. But nowadays, I don't know, stuff goes sideways and you don't even know it until after. And then he may or may not have a video on Twitch afterwards, because it might be recording it all but not running it all live, which...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I get the feeling that's what's happening. Hey, check out Trovo. Trovo.live, I think. So there's a link to it on UncleThePodcast.com.
How do you get these links on my apps? What did you
know? It's on our website.
Can't figure
yeah.
it out. Uh-huh. I can't figure it on my phone. Never mind that.
Yeah, yeah. The UncleThePodcast.com is mobile friendly. It pops up. It's not too atrocious on a mobile. You can navigate it fairly easily. So. Go to UncleThePodcast.com, and on the side there's links to all the live streaming sites. And again, maybe you're into Twitter. You can watch the video live on Twitter, too, if you have a Twitter account. So that works. I find a few people watch that after the fact there. And all in all, we talk about this all the time. Like, it's impossible to know how many listeners, how many viewers we have, because there's so many different places people can pick up the show and so many different things going on. You can't keep track of it. It's impossible. So it's cool. I just enjoy being able to do all this. It's kind of fun, and I kind of like not knowing really what's going on the other end, to be honest. I don't know if you like it, Uncle, but I kind of do.
I like surprises too, but on a phone call that say, like, somebody calling and I don't know who it is, I like a surprise. And that way I like to catch the surprise talker that talks on it.
You never know who it's going to be.
Right, right. That hits me on New Year's Revolution, so that's when I catch those.
Yes, it's good for that. And again, everybody call in on New Year's. We want to know what you're doing for your New Year's Eve celebration. We want to know what your revolution is for the new year.
Aaron, you know everybody sends me their complaints, right?
Yes, so, I do, yes.
Okay, just so you know. I got a complaining listener telling me, hey, there is no thing to click directly on the live stream at UncleThePodcast.com. I said, okay. I went over there, and I got to concur with him. I do see that you have where you can get all the podcasts afterwards, and you have the shows up on the site, but I don't see the thing either.
I'm going to the website myself now so I can more clearly describe what it is I mean, because I only
start doing that.
Let me see it. So I'm at UncleThePodcast.com right now.
Right.
And in the browser, which is Safari, I'm using Safari on my personal computer here, my Mac. But it's the same even on – it should be the same on a mobile. It might be different on a mobile in that you get the main content and then you got to scroll all the way down to the bottom, okay. Which would be what's on the sidebar for me. It's on the sidebar for me, but you might have to go down to the bottom of the page on a mobile device. And there's a section that says follow Uncle on social media. And I realize that is kind of encrypted in the way we like to encrypt all of our nonsense on Uncle the Podcast. And as such, it's difficult to find. So, but it is on there. You'll see a little logo for Twitter. You'll see a logo for Instagram, one for YouTube, one for Twitch, one for Telegram. And then there's one that looks like chain links.
Right.
That one is Trovo because whatever I use for this little widget,
they don't have a standard.
They don't have the graphic for Trovo yet because it's too new.
So what the problem is then, Aaron, is that somebody who wants to go and find the live show doesn't necessarily realize follow you on social media or follow you on social media either way, doesn't realize that that's for the live stream too. You see, this is why they're complaining. Okay. Mm-hmm. I now get it, but that's what the problem is. See?
Well, yeah. Jack, you can kick it back.
And by the way, I'm looking at it on Mozilla because half of our listeners, according to the stream data, are using Mozilla one way or another, whether it's mobile or on a desktop. Or more than half our listeners right now are using that to listen to the show. So. The thing is, I'm looking at it on there, and quite honestly, I wouldn't know that that's where I go to catch live stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Sure.
All right.
Well, about these burners, I'm seeing the difference. You're putting it on a thing. To get this clear for people. And then other people, they get it on, but they don't get on the one you're doing. Chuck gets it on a different one. See, I think what's going on here with you're putting these things on is they're getting a different thing, but you're putting it on so-and-so, and they got it on a different one.
I
think that's where the confusion is.
I've had complaints about the website before.
The website.
And it could probably be designed a little better, I got to be honest.
Yeah.
There's another tab that says listen to the live shows. It's got an Ocelli graphic, which if you click to it, takes it to the Ocelli.com live part of the site where you can listen to the live stream. Then there's also a Twitch channel link, a YouTube channel link. I don't have any of the others, so I haven't updated that little thing. So those are just little text links for the most part. And then above that widget is the one to the social media one, and I don't know.
Okay, now I think what you need to do there is make that more obvious because I'm the blind guy. I can miss stuff, but
I know
the other guy who's looking at it going, I don't see it. I know why he didn't see it because it's not obvious. So I think what you got to do is put these things out there with their graphic or something.
Put it out there.
That's make it an easy click. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now I get it. If I wanted to go watch on Twitch, I can go there. But see, that didn't jump out at me. I saw the Ocelli graphic, which is just the Ocelli name there. Like it looks like somebody cut it out almost. I love that style, by the way. Where it's just like, you know, somebody snipped it out of a magazine with a pair of scissors, like the old ransom notes. I love that. Uh-huh.
Yep. I like doing web graphics that way too. Yeah.
Yeah. But the fact is these text graphics, see, that's the thing. Not everybody reads the text graphic, the text link as something to click on. So there you go.
Yeah, that little graphic area with the social media, I think what I can do is change the title of that and it'll make more sense.
There you go.
To social media and live stream video links or
that's
something
it.
Like that.
That's it. That let them know.
Down. That's what
Put
I got to do.
No, people can understand.
And believe me, I sympathize. I spent 6 hours this weekend because I got a notice saying that, you know, your appearance on mobile devices is terrible or whatever from one of these things. And I went on it and looked at it, and I said, yeah, okay, I get it. And I spent 6 hours reorienting the thing just for people's phones, really, and because it was a mess. You know, you had to scroll all the way down to get the relevant stuff, and your different things are coming up at the top that I don't want at the top, but that's the way it was coming out because I'm looking at it usually on a desktop. So I didn't know it, you know. You gotta, and this is the thing, and by the way, no matter what you do with the website, there's always gonna be somebody to bitch about it. I mean, it's just gonna happen.
Yeah, I get that. But I mean, I know that with web design, I could always do better. It's not really my strong point, to be honest with you, but at the same time, I want to make it navigable and make it make sense so that, Yeah, we could do better.
All right, so from now on, to note to the listeners, if you go to the sidebar, if you go to unclethepodcast.com and you go to the sidebar, you can navigate your way to the live video links from there. It's just that right now, it's under follow Uncle on social media right at this moment. And you click on the little recognizable YouTube link, the Twitter link, Instagram and Twitch and all that. And what is the name of that? Trovo?
Yeah. Here, let me give the depraved maniac style link to Trovo because some weirdos like this.
Okay.
It is type this URL into your browser. https://trovo.live/s/unclepodcast. That's https://trovo.live/s/unclepodcast, and you'll go to that, whatever that is.
There it is. Okay, now we know. Okay.
That made perfect sense while making no sense at the same time, which is why it's great.
Of course.
I mean, you followed all that, didn't you, Uncle?
Yeah, I understood it.
phone call.
There's our first phone call of the night.
Okay.
All right, I bet you I know who this is.
Caller, you're on the
air.
Jimmy James, what's going on?
What did I tell you? I knew it was him.
Who he saw you coming, Jimmy.
We thought you coming. So what's
did
up with you?
The Lions and their. Did you see the Lions' magnificent game?
Did you watch that, Uncle? I missed it.
40 points. But Minnesota won.
Wait, Minnesota played a different team.
I know, but...
No.
Minnesota played the Jets.
Lions won, I think.
Yeah, I know that. You guys blew it up. They're like a college game.
A note from Crazy Accidents, by the way, says that if you go to the Twitch link via Twitter, you will get the video, just so you know.
Oh now.
Get that out there to
Twitter
the
is the key, huh? Interesting.
Apparently.
Cut them down.
Just right. Reporting what Creative Accidents
is. You guys just got to all switch to Rumble. It works perfectly. It won't censor you.
But I can tell you one thing, though. They helped themselves. Because Minnesota has locked it up.
Oh, Minnesota is in for the playoffs? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm putting to them. They beat
them. The division title's theirs. There's no doubt of that.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. I was looking at these things where one team had to lose, the other team wins, then or that way or this way. You know, at that time of year when I look at those and see if the team loses behind them, that's what I was thinking.
I don't think the Packers are going to qualify to be a wild card.
They're not in it. I can tell you right now.
Yeah.
They're not even in the hunt.
I think I heard a phone ring again. Maybe let's try to. Do you want to try to see if we have another caller, Uncle?
Oh, and I heard a phone call. Is that a phone ring?
Let's see. So new caller, if you're there, you're on the line. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Chris Graves. How you doing, everybody? And Jimmy James. I actually thought I thought I was on the air, and then all of a sudden Jimmy James started talking. I think we called around the same time. And I was like, all right.
We were just discussing how the team and the team below them had to lose and one had to win. It's just the way I seem of it looking like. But
next game, Uncle's the Vikings versus the Lions. So So that's going to be what's going to either make or break the Lions, and same with the Vikings.
Oh, they play them?
That'll be interesting, yeah.
They play them? Oh, yeah, they do play them. They play them next? Oh, you must know.
That's what he said.
That's who they play next. The Vikings, they play next. That's going to be an important game.
That'll be worth watching, yeah.
Are they in the – I don't think they're not even in the hunt. I know Dallas isn't.
Dallas? Dallas is doing good.
In their division, yes, but not in the hunt.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
It's confusing to me with these playoffs. This time of year with playoff applications, I get confused.
It's very confusing.
Darn, it's confused. Well,
it's hard to keep up.
So I don't know how people can really keep up with all this going on.
Chris, do you follow the NFL at all?
Do you check that?
Yeah, I'm going to say that I am really not a sports guy. And if anything, I love hockey, but I love to play hockey more than watch it. And I haven't played hockey in quite a long time. So, I had a friend that my best friend growing up was all about football. And I know how the game is played, but I really have no stock in it and no real interest. So it's a long-winded way of saying, yeah, I'm not really a sports guy. More music, movies, all the creative stuff.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I've been getting into football more as of late, by osmosis, if nothing else. It's always on TV here, isn't it, Uncle?
Yeah. Sunday afternoon, you know who's down there.
I mean, I will say this, that the supposedly the GOAT, they call him, the greatest of all time, Mr. Tom Brady, he was rude to me in 2001 when he was brand new to the Patriots. I mean, I lived about 10 minutes away from Foxborough Stadium, where the Patriots are based out of. Yeah. And I worked at a convenience store, and Tom Brady was a rude prick to me before anyone knew who he was. So I guess that's my claim to fame when it comes to the NFL. The GOAT.
Yeah, they say the GOAT.
Be kind to him, Chris. He was a very young man back then. He'd have been like 20, a brand new quarterback. He's a totally different dude now. I mean,
he probably is. I'll give him that. Maybe it was an off day, but and maybe Drew Bledsoe gave him some crap earlier that day. But he was just, I don't know, it sticks out to me. It was a little bit rude and unnecessary. I was nothing but nice to the guy before anyone knew who he was. That's my little anecdote with that.
So what, he just came in as a customer one time? Is that what the story is, Chris?
Yeah, it was a 24-hour mobile on the run. In Franklin, Massachusetts, and I guess he had a condo nearby because he was like literally brand new to the team. This is before 9/11 too. This is earlier in 2001.
Oh, so.
And I just remember he was just giving me crap for no reason. Like no reason to give anybody crap. So maybe it was just an off day, but it's a fun little anecdote, I guess.
How long did you work at the mobile?
Maybe he is a better guy now. I don't know.
How long did you work at the mobile on the run, Chris?
Maybe 6 months. Eight months.
At a certain point, I want you to know that some of the ridiculous nonsense that was coming down from corporate to your mobile on the run store was coming from me. Directly, probably, because
Chuck O'Chelly was implementing the rules to our bathroom breaks. And Brady was a nobody giving me crap at 2 a.m. Awesome.
I was literally the guy who designed most of the changes in the rules when they put Exxon and Mobil together and they decided about the rules for overnight workers. That was one of my main things.
It was for overnight too. You really were in charge of me. Wow.
I didn't realize it, but I didn't know he would get in the middle of it with Brady. Now.
Yeah, you never know where Tom Brady will pop up.
It's ridiculous.
He'll pop up when you're working somewhere and you least expect it, and he'll be rude to you.
Yeah, in 2001, in nowhere, you know,
Yeah.
So I mean, he was fresh out of what? Michigan University.
Michigan at that point. He came from Michigan. Yeah.
I don't
know. Hey, now they're going for a title this time.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what? Michigan beat Ohio State this year.
They did.
Yeah. Not a surprise.
Ooh, they were mad in Columbus, I'm sure.
Yeah, they're pissed at Columbus. It's
a real big deal there.
Hey,
we know that.
Hey, Uncle. Yeah. Uncle, I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
I'm toying with the idea of doing a Christmas Day Get Mad with Chris Graves special. Christmas Day Spooktacular, where I go into all the weird, haunting, Christmas-based horror characters in mythology, like the Krampus or Black Peter or the Abominable Snowman, and go into the origins of clothes, stockings, and all that. What do you think? That's a good idea. I should tread on some hallowed ground there.
You tried a Christmas. You should try a Christmas review. Hmm. Sort of like.
Yeah, maybe.
I call these reviews you talk about.
He could work in a Christmas story with, Christmas like, story, the right. ghost of Jacob Marley, and, of course, the ghost of Christmas Past is scary.
Did you hear about this
ghost morning? Of Christmas Future is even scary.
Oh, Future. That's
what's going to happen to him in hell.
You know what's interesting here, Chris, is that Uncle, I don't think, is a big horror fan. So
he was the wrong guy to ask.
Yeah, I don't think he would be into, like, you know, the those weird dark pieces. Yeah. I mean, Uncle, did you see the movie Krampus a few years ago they put out about, you know, the demon that's supposed to travel along with Santa Claus who beats up the bad children? Did you ever see that?
I saw the ad of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah. They showed the ad of it. And what you got, what you were talking about, I saw the ad of it. And they were showing it. It was coming out.
Right.
In the movie theater. But
I don't think that was something.
It was a clip of it. That's what it was. I did see that.
Okay. No, I was just going to say, I know you know what he's talking about. It's just that I don't think you went to go see that movie because it wasn't I got to see that.
Out yet. Yeah.
Okay. Well, no, they did put one out.
You might be thinking about Violent Night, Uncle.
Yeah, that one.
That's a new movie.
Oh, that's a new one.
It reacts like Violent Night. That acts like that. What you're explaining.
Well, Violent Night's a new thing with this Santa Claus that shows up and does like Santa Claus Die Hard kind of thing, where he's like, you know, attacking people and stuff that are doing bad stuff on Christmas, I guess. But that's, that's a new thing. No. I'm talking about a few years ago. There was this thing about this. Yeah. See what I mean? Chris, he's not going to be tapped into that kind of stuff.
He's not going to want me to do a retelling of Silent Night, Deadly Night, or a Silent Night, Evil Night. I got you.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
And that's if you want to go ahead and do it, I'll put on the thing and listen.
I just figured
it would be different because if I read like Christmas horror stories, you don't really hear that too often. You know, you kind of mix it up because there are quite a few horror characters that are Christmas based.
It's not me crapping
on Christmas because I love Christmas just as much as Halloween. I mean, I love Halloween just a little bit more. But those are my two favorite holidays, and to mix them up, kind of like even if it's on a lower level, like something like Nightmare Before Christmas. Kind of the idea is what I'm getting at. Where they're
I got you. I understand.
I understand.
Hey, Chris, in Japan, their Santa Claus, their version of Santa Claus, he don't visit the good kids, just the bad kids, and he's a samurai.
Well, that's Black Peter. Black Peter was his main assistant who would drag away the bad kids kicking and screaming in the sack.
Yeah. You should listen to that one.
Krampus was German. Black Peter would have been Russian. And then I like this ninja from Japan the best. He's the best Santa Claus.
Japan.
There was a New Year's Santa Claus.
Yeah. A New Year's Santa. We got to find out about this. We got to look into this.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I was thinking about doing.
We got to look into this. Let's look into this. What they're talking about.
We got to look
getting into,
we
look into understanding what you guys are talking about.
So much to understand.
We got to try to understand.
Like Frosty the Abominable Snowman, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
He's like Bigfoot, but he's Frosty too, you know?
Yeah. Uncle, in the chat, Adam Clark is asking, has Uncle seen Die Hard? The ultimate debate question, is it a Christmas movie, Die Hard?
Yes, the first one.
So the answer is yes to that.
Mm-hmm. That is a Christmas, of course, what you see in the first episode of Die Hard, now that he mentioned it, there was a bunch of trees. Yes. And what it comes down to was the wife got a job at this place, and he was, and they had a whole party, and
Christmas party.
Who comes in to butt into the party? His ex-husband.
Hans Gruber.
And
Hans, yeah.
Hans Gruber. No, that's the guy that does the damage. Yeah. Hans Gruber. No. Now you're a little far behind, ahead, right there. We're not into the story yet. But when he comes in, and, you know, how they argue back and forth. Well, that's what they did in the room. And the guy said, "Well, I'm getting this because she's in a good appreciation." That was part of him. And then the action started with the shooting and all.
Mm. No. Indeed, yes.
That's how it happened.
Yeah,
yeah, remember he walked on glass with his bare feet too. Remember McClane?
Yeah, John McClane.
Yeah,
John
McClane.
Yippee-ki-yay, as they say.
Yeah, that was the first one.
That was number one.
Yippee-ki-yay, something or other, right?
Yeah, something.
But then, I saw three. Or was it two? Yeah,
there's more than three of them, I think. There's a lot
there's
of diehards.
A whole bunch of
them. Five, yeah.
Five, oh, yeah, there five you go. Now? Five, yeah. Diehard five.
I didn't get to see the last two.
Because there's...
I remember the airport one.
Die Harder. Yeah.
Die Hardest was the third. But that one about
Die Another Day.
Die even more harder today than you did yesterday was the
but
film.
Die Harder than your father ever did some bunch before you.
One of them should have been called Son of Die Hard. One of them should have been called Son of.
Harder, and then it was Die Hard with Steve Jackson.
Yeah, one of them.
That was in New York City.
Yeah.
And then Kevin.
I think the new one. What about the new Die Hard? The one that I
get kicked out of is the one in the airport, and this guy stretches out to his exercise. It's like your exercise, what you do in the morning.
The exercises
he
I do in the morning?
He does that norm stuff.
Oh, good.
Exercise that before he gets going.
Well, that's smart of him to do that.
Good to start your day that way.
I helped build ramps. I helped build ramps for that one in New York City. So,
you?
Yeah.
How did you get in the middle of this diehard stuff?
That was Die Hardest?
The third one, I guess it was, with Samuel L. Jackson in it. Yeah, I was
with a vengeance. Yeah, with a vengeance.
Yes, that one. I saw that one.
Yeah, we had to build ramps.
That was the one. That was the one in the on the boat.
No. Yes. This is the one with the taxi, and he gets in the taxi with the guy, and he keeps calling him Jesus, and he says, "My name is Zeus, not Jesus."
Oh. I don't think I saw that one.
Yeah,
you haven't seen that. Yeah, I don't remember.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah,
I don't remember. Back to these. But I did see the one on the boat.
It's memorable because the terrorist makes John McClane go into Harlem with the N-word printed on a sign on a sandwich board.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I do remember something like that.
He ended at the World Trade Center at the end of it, too.
I think so. Yeah. But I was involved in the stuff with the taxi because they had to do a whole thing where the taxi goes through the park. And that was shot in more than one park. And we had to build ramps for this taxi to be able to jump certain dividers and stuff.
Remember that now. Yeah. And I remember he had to walk through with a thump on his back.
You don't see the ramps in the movie, but it's part of the reason why the cab does these jumps and stuff, actually. It's supposed to be jumping over these grassy
holes. There was another one. Have you guys seen the one, this black dude, and he's with him walking around? This guy is a comedy. We are trying to figure a puzzle, and they're doing a puzzle.
Yes.
Trying to figure out where is the bomb.
That's it. The thing with the water.
Yes, that's the one I saw. That's the one I saw. That's the one I saw.
Yeah, so like I said, we built some of the ramps. I only worked with the stunt coordinators. I didn't see the stars. But worked with the stunt coordinators because it was about setting up so that the taxi could get through the parks, which is what we were doing.
Interesting. I remember the best line of that movie was when Samuel L. Jackson called 911 and says, "I'm about to witness a murder." When that guy was out there naked wearing those signs that said, "I hate you know what."
Yep.
I'm about to witness a murder.
What the heck? And then they kept saying to the sergeant, "What the heck does he want?"
And Ruckus in the chat is saying that there was a boat scene at the end of that one.
Yeah, what?
At the end.
Where this was, where the plus was to be blown up. That was where the bomb was.
Yeah, okay. The majority of it was them running around New York City, though.
Right.
But they
couldn't find it where the bomb was.
Chuck, it was like the reverse.
Sorry, Chris, you're breaking up there.
We're losing
somebody.
It must be something with Chris's phone because this happened before.
Yeah, he just sounds like he's underwater for a minute. He'll come back.
Okay. I'm sorry about that, Chris. But Die Hard, I guess we answered the question. Is that yes? It is a Christmas movie.
Yeah, it is a Christmas movie. The first one at least was.
First one was. Maybe not the others, but the first one, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. It's good to answer that question. Now we hear you, Chris.
Now you're back.
No, I was going to say it was like the reverse of Friday the 13th Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan, where most of the movie took place on the boat, and then 5 minutes in New York City. It was like Die Hard with a Vengeance was like a reverse of that.
Right, exactly.
Got it.
Yeah. And I wasn't involved in the boat stuff, just the stuff with the cars. So.
Well, that's because you weren't involved with the bomb, because that's where the bomb was, Chuck.
Bomb on a boat.
Well,
where the bomb was.
Well, they put the bomb in one of the there was a couple of bombs. So they put the it's all fake, but they put a bomb in one of the fountains.
Oh, yeah, they did all that.
Yeah, and that was, I was around for that. I didn't build any of that stuff, but I was around for that. And, like I said, the thing with the taxi running through the, when they actually cut through the parks, which they filmed in two different parks. I think one of them was Central Park and the other one might have been Washington Square, if I remember right. Cause I know we had to go to Washington Square and scout it. But we were building stuff, on the back of a flatbed and then it was being taken away on another truck to, set it up. So that's the way that was getting done while we were in progress there, and the stunt coordinators had to make sure that we met their specs and all this stuff. So anyways, it was a whole thing because of the cars. Yeah, but that's an unrelated story. Chris, they can barely hear you again, but that's an unrelated story to old Twins thing. You got a little less than 15 minutes left, guys. I just want you to know.
15 minutes. Good. How did time go by talking about a film?
It flies, doesn't it?
Gosh, God, we're just talking about one little film.
That's it. Yeah, that's pretty much all we've been saying.
Time flies by here.
It does. It's good. Yeah.
Well, I have two calls.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, it's all right, Chris.
It's all right.
That's
just didn't happen.
Yeah, something about the phone. I don't know what it is.
It's something about the... trying to find out, though, if you want to find out, how to fix the phone or try to get those people to break another phone and get you in for can talk on it.
Yeah, clearly. See if you find another phone laying around somewhere. There's got to be one on the ground laying around, I would think. Use that.
We'll work on it. We'll get him an Obama phone or something. Not home.
Wait. Yes. See, I didn't understand him.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. We're having trouble here. But I don't know. Let's again just remind people that next week we won't be here doing the show, but the week after we will be, and it's just all the way through to the revolution from there.
From there on out, it'd be on. That'd be we. From that point on.
Yeah, we will be outrage. Here. Get right. Yeah, I know, Jim.
You got to have a break.
So that means remember everybody that on the 31st. So remember everybody that on the 31st, there won't be an Age of Transitions, but there will be Uncle the Broadcast starting around a little bit before 11 p.m. I think it's, somewhere around 11 p.m. Eastern. And then as each time zone goes by in America, we'll say Happy New Year all the way until they get there 4 hours later in the West Coast area. So that's the way that's going to go. And we'll be live for 4 hours plus on
That's the only time that Trinity Transition isn't going to be on,
right?
Because mine's so long, it'll take 2 hours or more.
Well, it's like four Uncle shows in one.
That, and you've seen it, Chuck.
Yeah,
long show.
I mean, it takes the hour. I can tell you that it takes double the hour of doing this.
Does.
I know it hurts on him.
Be sure to call. Don't forget. Yeah. Tell everybody. Tell your friends. The revolution is on its way. Because we we definitely need your calls that night. We want to hear from you. So everybody call in on New Year's. Uncle's New Year's Revolution, New Year's Eve.
If you want to have a couple of drinks at home. If you're calling, if you're at the bar. I probably know one will probably be at the bar.
Somebody will be.
Mr. P, Mrs. P.
Now, I'm going to try and beat everybody to the punch here and ask, are we going to get the updated butt-smacking situation? Because everybody keeps asking.
That's Mrs. P. That's Mrs. P. I got to get Mrs. P because she's the one that does that.
Okay.
That's who I'm asking.
Probably.
Your wife's friend. Get her talking.
The answer is probably yes.
Yeah.
Probably yes.
When?
We don't know. We can't control what everybody does on the revolution, but it's more likely than not going to be crazy. So
true enough. We've had baby New Year call
hey,
in.
Uncle.
Yeah.
Uncle, what do you think about that crazy black guy, Kanye West, saying that he loves Adolf Hitler? Is he gone crazy or is he just trying to be outrageous?
Outrageous.
That's it.
Oh, did anybody hear about that other guy that I've been trying to get on the phone or radio with him on my broadcast?
Elon Musk?
Musk. What
did he do?
Anybody hear him lately about in the newscast?
I've heard about him, yeah.
And saying they're fired but not going to be.
At Twitter.
Oh, at Twitter, yeah.
I know, I figured.
He's in charge of Twitter.
I'm trying to get him on for you.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Chris is
on
the
job. Try to get him on because I want to have a discussion with him.
Oh, we're all trying to get Elon Musk on, believe me.
is this electric man that talks about these electric cars? I want to find out if these electric cars are real for real.
You know,
this going on.
That is a strange request right there because Artisan Loaf, we have not heard from Artisan Loaf in a long time, Aaron. Are you still in touch with him?
I want to find out about him.
He's still on Twitter. I haven't reached out to him directly in a little while, but maybe I should.
But he would definitely have something to say about Musk and Twitter and, I mean, you know, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right. He always does, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we should have Aaron, back on.
Aaron, I'm curious. If would Al Franken be someone that you would like enjoy interviewing? And if so, like, what would you talk to him about? What would your angle be with some guy like that?
Oh, yeah, quick bit of context. Quick bit of context. On Friday night's call-in show, somebody brought up, you know, Al Franken would be a great interview. And I said, yeah, I'd love to talk to that guy. And then Jimmy James said on the show, he said, you know, I think Aaron Franz would be a better interview for Al Franken than you. And I agreed. So I think that you would be great interviewing Al Franken. And then I'd love to hear what happens if we could bring him on the Uncle Show as well.
Yeah.
Well, let's Hey, can we do a favor this time?
What's that?
Try to work on these guests.
Try to work on them.
And try to, like you're saying, Chuck, kind of bring them in.
Yeah, no, I'm always working on that.
I will get them on. I will start talking to them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'm always working on that. It's just it's up to Sidekick.
What?
I say,
no, Uncle, you're in with Al Franken as if you're both into wrestling. I mean, Al Franken actually used to wrestle, believe it or not.
Oh,
definitely
wrestling?
In school.
And there's our first wrestling appointment. There's our first wrestling appointment. Maybe we could talk to him.
He wasn't a professional, but he's all into it.
Well, professional or not, at least he's a professional.
Jimmy James, when did Al Franken wrestle? Like with Andy Kaufman?
Oh, yeah.
Actually, believe it or not, him and Chris Farley used to wrestle in high school. And they used to wrestle around in 30 Rock, just like banging around wrestling.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Okay. Now I know what you're talking about. All right.
Yeah, real wrestling, like actual.
Real wrestling. From
Greco-Roman.
People flying over the rims and going crazy. Like the Friday Night
Smackdowns. Chris Farley actually defecated out of a very tall Rockefeller Center's building, like he had a very top floor. He defecated in front of Adam Sandler out the window. Very gross.
I can tell you something. I can go on with a wrestler talker for a good, at least a good hour and a half, or to 2 hours, if we really can.
I tried for Sergeant Rock, Uncle, but he wouldn't reply to me. I remember I told you I would try to get some of these wrestlers or whatever. Yeah. They don't reply.
They won't.
Not surprised.
Trying the one that has a podcast. What was his name?
Stone Cold Steve
Stone Austin. Cold. Trying to get in touch with him.
You know who might be another interesting one if you want to take a crack at it, Chris, is the Iron Sheik.
Oh, him too.
He's still alive?
He was last I looked. Last I looked, he was still alive.
A while ago. Oh, I'm thinking of Andre the Giant. Sorry.
No, Andre's dead, but no, the Iron Sheik was still alive last I looked.
Yeah,
he used to go in CERN, and CERN would get them all riled up. That's right. I remember now.
Wait a minute. I remember, the stick was that it's supposed to be Sergeant Slaughter versus the Iron Sheik, but the crazy Sheik had, a heart attack or some crap and actually died. Is this one of the Mandela things?
No. It could be.
I
let's
don't remember that one.
Let's take a look.
Ed McMahon was going to fight the Iron Sheik, but Ed McMahon never did any clearinghouse commercials, apparently.
Boy, I don't remember any of this. I do believe the Iron Sheik.
The Iron Sheik is still alive. He is 83 years old, folks.
Oof, goodness.
83.
Crazy.
Oh. I knew.
Crazy.
Will
that
make him the oldest wrestler to ever live?
I don't know.
Close to it, I would think.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds about right.
Yeah. Sounds close.
You talk about most of them and they are deceased. Yeah. So, he made it that far. That's saying something.
Yeah.
No doubt
about
it.
You mean Gorgeous George is still doing appearances somewhere at some flea market?
Might be. Yeah. I think, any of them that are around are mostly doing something like that, I feel like. So, yeah.
I'm really surprised, though, that the one that really has a broadcast wouldn't be jumping on mine yet.
It's hard.
It surprises to me.
Guests are tough, Uncle. Guests are tough. We'll see. We'll get somebody on here.
Maybe a New Year's resolution he might show up. Who knew?
Maybe, yeah, you
know. But because you don't know, I don't know who's on the call. I don't know who the person is. Sometimes they will. And maybe that may be one. Because that's usually where I get a lot of my calls from. The Levolution show.
We do.
For every year.
You don't know
if
who will call.
If there's anything of callers, that's the time I get them.
Yeah.
No.
Yes, that is the time that the calls come in.
They come in at that time. So I'm really not surprised. Don't got a few callers tonight. But come New Year's Revolution, I expect them flying, coming, because I know how that works.
They will fly.
They will fly. Flying.
We will get flying calls.
I remember the time when Chuck was so busy on the phones, he had to say, hold on, there's another caller. Hold on, there's another caller. Hold on, there's another caller. He was busy, let me tell you.
It could get like that.
Just
it could
be like that. A couple months ago, you had one of those days, Uncle, where there was like 20 callers one day.
Yeah.
You were swamped that day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was close to that time. Yeah. It's when they...
Did you know that the Iron Sheik was actually a bodyguard for the Shah of Iran at one point?
They look like the...
Yes, I did know that.
Clothes.
You mentioned that on Howard Stern.
Yeah, he actually was.
Makes you wonder if he was a body
the same
double.
Clothes. They had the same clothes.
Hey, it makes you wonder if they were. He was a double.
Could have been.
That would be...
Because they had the same... That. They had the same clothes.
They had the same clothes.
They did.
He's telling you.
The people there. If you looked at their clothing... Hey, Bobby had the same clothing.
Well, Uncle, the show's almost over, so why don't we do shout-outs? Why don't we have our callers do shout-outs and we'll wrap this thing up?
Start the shout-outs, starting with James. And then go
Jimmy,
Jimmy. Go ahead.
Who you got tonight, Jimmy?
Who you got? Got a jumper,
Shout-out to the Detroit Lions. You're not completely embarrassing me this season.
Well, you got a decent
fine
quarterback.
Out, Jimmy. Thanks for calling. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Talk to you soon.
Right, there goes Jimmy James. Now we'll go to Chris Graves.
Chris Graves, you're next.
Who you got for a shout out?
Yeah, all right, guys. I just want to say, tune in to Get Mad with Chris Graves, the Christmas Spooktacular, where I go into all the horror elements of Christmas. And also, I want to give a shout out to the late Dennis Hopper, who played King Koopa in 1993's masterpiece Super Mario Brothers. Thank you.
How come we're not back with the games?
Good shout out, Chris. Thanks for calling in.
I got to get some more of those games going on Saturday. Reminding me.
Good shout out.
I find it remarkable that Chris is willing to call that a masterpiece. I mean, I could call it a piece, but master is a stretch. All right, sorry. Go ahead.
I did see that movie. I remember. Yeah, that's a good shout out. I'll give a shout out to whoever. Speaking of Dennis Hopper, somebody posted the video of the TV version of Blue Velvet, and it's just this edit. Somebody had made an edit of Dennis Hopper delivering all these lines that were curse words, and that they're the edited versions. I reposted that on Twitter. So shout out to whoever cut that. It's hilarious. It's my shout out, sure. Uncle, who you got here?
Shout out to you all that called in the crack room. I asked to be nice showing and wishing that what's his name would ever call on the telephone. That's a shout out to him.
Crazy accidents.
Crazy accidents. I'm still waiting.
Crazy
maybe
accidents.
A New Year's revolution he made. Who knows?
Maybe one of these days. Very exciting.
And out to you, old Chuck. You do how much work you do.
I appreciate that.
Chuck Ocelli, the Ocelli Radio Network. How about you?
Mine.
And then, that's the show. We're here every Sunday again. Next week we'll be gone, but don't fret. We will be right back the week after. So
the week after we'll be back through the revolution.
It's countdown
it's
to the revolution.
It's going to that point.
So get ready.
So we're taking a break next week, but after that break, all the way through.
Yeah.
So get ready.
so we'll see you. And then we're at Uncle Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Find the links to all the other live streams at UncleThePodcast.com. That's a website. The podcast is there, UncleThePodcast.com. Uncle, why don't you bring us home this week?
There's our 282 episode. Bye-bye.